Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? Derek Evers, Chris Robbins making his triumphant return.
Hooray. You shaved your mustache.
I shaved it all.
Why?
And I cut my hair. This is nothing urgent, by the way. We didn't say the name of the show. You're supposed to fill me in there. You're supposed to be like, this is exciting.
I'm just staring at your naked face and wondering what happened to you.
Does it look good? I can't tell. I feel like I'm naked, like it's like fatter or something. I don't know.
You definitely look younger. You definitely look a good... I feel less inclined to, like, throw nickels at you and you know.
I do
like,
feel...
You look good, is what I'm trying to
say.
Well,
sometimes when I'm trying to, you know, conduct business, I like to have the beard, so it makes me a little bit older.
I thought you said that when you're conducting business, usually you're on the back of, like, a yacht, so you want that, like, sea breeze to hit your goatee in a certain way that intimidates, you know, the potential business partners, right? What happened to that theory?
Well, the problem is my beard grows in, like... sideways. It only grows in on one side fully, so...
All right. Well, you look good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I got a haircut, too. You know why I got it, though? Because we're leaving this. This is our last show for, like, 2 weeks.
Well, let's not dwell on that. I don't want to think about...
You don't want to tell the people how we're going on the road for 2 weeks together in a car?
Let's tell the people who's in the studio right now first.
No, let's talk about our experiences on the road.
Is this how it's going to be in the car for 2 weeks?
2 weeks. When we get home, you're not going to want to see me at all.
It's good to know. I don't know what to say to that. I really don't know what to say to that.
Oh, all right. This was supposed to be a plug for our tour, but it's cool. It's cool. We don't need to plug it.
No, we don't.
Well, safe to say, this is our douchiest episode ever that we've had.
I knew you were going to say that.
I was going back and forth between that or, like, the cleanest, most hygienic.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're considered not hygienic.
In hygienic, yeah, they are.
Anyway... we are.
Well, why is it the douchiest episode, Derek?
Because we're joined by Big Ups this week.
Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah, we're very excited to have them.
How long was
in
that
studio?
One just burning in you?
I was waiting to use that one. And then we're also joined by Irene Plagianos.
Yes.
Did I say that right? Yes. All right.
That's what we need.
From DNA Info, who actually wrote a really intriguing article about an artifact that was unearthed at City Hall about 2 or 3... No, it's like 4 years ago now, right? 2010?
In 2010, but the end of 2010.
Only discovered what it was...
More recently.
Can you explain us the situation?
Yes, so they took some time to figure out what the douche was, what they later found to be a douche. So as they were excavating at City Hall, they found some kind of item that was a 3-inch... cylinder, and the archaeologists had no idea what it was. They thought that maybe it was a spice grinder or maybe a needle case. But one of the young archaeologists happened to be a docent at the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia. And while she was there, she found this back archive of what they called vaginal syringes. And she made this sort of, she had a light bulb moment, basically, realizing that what they had found in this excavation was likely the earliest douche in New York.
So it's just New York. It's that there's been older douches found then, right?
Well, they weren't. Her research actually has not spanned all of America, so she couldn't say definitively that it's all of America. But these douches, these douches first sort of became popular in America around 1800, and this was actually dated back to between 1803 and 1815. So we can draw our own conclusions, but she did not say that.
What was on the site, you know, like when they're sifting through this stuff, like what used to exist on the site where the douche was found?
So it was City Hall was under construction at that time. So City Hall was built at some time between, I think it was 1810 and 1812. There's also prison nearby. But this was found in this huge garbage pile that was found buried about 3 feet underground, and it extended 6 feet underground. And the lead archaeologist had said that the garbage was probably from one large celebratory event. So it was like found in this massive pile of old garbage that also had food remains and liquor bottles and that type of thing.
So did they see that raises
party douche?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Was it used at like? I mean, I don't know if.
Hold on. If I may, the douche was made from bone, right? From mammal bone.
Yes, from unidentified mammal bone.
That,
bone douche.
How common was that to have a bone douche?
How calming was it?
Well, right. I mean, like, you know, was it, you know, back then was a bone
they didn't
douche
have plastics,
considered like but... a an unsightly douche, or
well,
was it like
it was
a
very
nicer...
high class?
That's well,
like
now
really
it is
classy.
But who knows what it was? You classy know, maybe douche. Back then, yeah. Bone douche was like, oh, I got another bone douche for Christmas. You know, like, so sick of these. I'm up to my ears in these bone douches.
What's funny about that? They actually could not find another douche that was mammal bone. So that's why they actually think it's one of the earlier versions, because the later versions were actually glass or brass or an early version of plastic. Okay. But they were actually given as presents, apparently. Apparently, women gave them to each other as wedding gifts. And also, there were a lot of prostitutes used them because they were thought to sort of help with contraception at the time.
Right. Okay. So that was their main use, was like a cleansing agent, contraceptive sort of thing.
To help, to aid. In the article you mentioned that it was thought to aid in infertility, basically.
Well, right, to like make you infertile.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I looked at it. I thought it was like, I first read it, I was like, you know, kind of like using things to maybe make you more fertile.
No, but. So the idea is actually, and it's kind of funny and kind of terrible for womankind, but... So they use these types of astringents that were made from minerals or root barks, and they mixed it with water, and then they shot it into themselves either before or after sex, and that was thought to actually constrict your blood vessels, which would help you not get pregnant. Apparently at that time they thought that the way you got pregnant was by sperm getting into your blood system, into your bloodstream. So, but what Lisa Geiger, the woman who had the light bulb moment, the archaeologist, she mentioned that it did sort of, they think that it actually might have had that sort of contraceptive effect, because it's just sort of messed up your internal lady parts, basically.
Right. So toxic.
Yeah. So that was sort of a thing. But it was also, it came during this time where there was this sort of... birth of like being hygienic, whatever that meant, even though this was totally misguided. It was a time when, you know, people maybe started to wash themselves, and there were sewer systems being installed, that whole type
right.
of thing, and this was sort of part of.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, that side of it, we kind of jest at like their medical prowess of that time, but
or lack thereof.
But the yeah, that's what I'm referring to, but I mean the use of a douche as a sanitary device lasted well into like the 70s and 80s, correct?
Yeah, I mean, apparently some people...
Derek was on the set of Saturday Night Fever, and he remembers on the set
well,
of that
no,
film,
I'm just
douches
saying,
being
I'm just
everywhere.
Saying it's like, we make fun of him, but it was not out of practice in the modern
right.
world
no,
for a
I
long
know.
Time.
No, I know. Yeah, but no, right.
There's a great Saturday Night Live, old Saturday Night Live skit, too. I don't know if you
There's
guys
actually a recent one, too, about pumpkin spice douches.
Interesting.
Check that out. But they're not dead, actually. They do still exist, and some people apparently still use them, but doctors by no means... to my knowledge, recommend them at all. It is. I'm assuming that it's not the same astringents that they used back in 1800s.
Well, isn't it like
the modern
vinegar or something like that?
You are very knowledgeable about the.
There's
the
a county man.
No,
70s. Ask Derek about the 70s. He'll tell you.
The Saturday Night Live skit that because like the joke is like Mr. and Mrs. Douchebag come in and they're like, oh, you know, and then they're like, what do you want on your sale? And she's like, oh, just vinegar and water. You know? So anyway, that's where I got the reference from.
If you can tell me, how did you stumble upon this story?
So Chrysalis Archaeology, the firm that that unearthed the douche, that's a firm that I've written several stories about, actually. They've uncovered literally thousands of artifacts throughout the city during, they oversee a lot of excavation products, projects in the city. So we've written about, like, at one point they found hundreds of liquor bottles that were intact and corked and all that type of stuff. So we just sort of keep tabs on them. And cool. They recently, the archaeologist who had the moment of figuring out that it was the douche, she presented in January at the Society for Historic Archaeology. And so they sort of, like, had published some of their findings. And
this is really interesting because, you know, douches aside, I, as Chris will tell you, I'm a huge, like, I love
douches,
history, and New York history specifically. Mm-hmm. Are there other, I mean,
that's what I was going to say when I knew he was going to say history.
As my love affair with the show Copper, which now does not exist, will attest to. But are there other old artifacts that, you know, that were never found before? I mean, you mentioned things like bottles in your article, and, like, it's kind of cool that as much it's just garbage, but it's kind of cool because that gives an insight as to what they were doing at that time or anything like that.
Yeah.
Are there other interesting specific artifacts that in your work with Chrysalis that you've come across? That
yeah, so I mean, they've found loads of pieces of pottery. They've also found a copper half penny. They've found one of the earliest toothbrushes, which was also made of bone. So apparently bone was a hygienic.
Bone was in.
Yeah.
And,
hear that, Brooklyn? Bone is in.
Washington's teeth, right? They had some bone in there.
I think
too,
that's wood, and I think that...
Oh, no, but it was actually animal bone and ivory
really?
And stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. Engineer Joe, do you mind fact-checking that real quick while Irene finishes her thought?
Okay.
they found a really old well. They found the wall of that belonged to a house of these prominent New York families, names of which I cannot remember right now. But
is there a place where we could find those outside of, you know, your articles, or just like a list of the things that have been found?
You
or
can,
like that?
I think you could check out their blog. They sort of catalog, they catalog their finds, and so they also have a Facebook page. But yeah, they usually write something on their blog when they find something interesting. It took them a while to post something about the douche because they just recently sort of figured it out and talked about it. So.
Right. You know, it's so funny because, you know, going back to the discussion of how it's like a, you know, an old practice that we don't really like associate anymore. When Chris first brought it up, I you know, the nomenclature just doesn't like, it doesn't ring the same way if like we were, I guess, in the 60s or 50s. And I automatically assumed that we were talking, when he first told me that we were going to be talking about like the world's, like New York City's oldest dickhead was found, you know, like this guy that was just a total douchebag that, you know, they unearthed him.
Really?
Well, when you like before I read the
Sir
article,
Boddington Dickbag or something
just like world, or from New the, York City's oldest douche 15. Uncovered, you know, and I didn't it like didn't ring with me of like, you know, that it was a feminine hygiene product. Okay. I was like, how do you find out that this guy anyway?
No, it's been confused. I think when we reblogged it, initially our gag was like Meatpacking District, and then we scratched out Meatpacking District and said City Hall. But the City Hall joke exists as well. So yeah, there's a lot of ways you go with douche. Yeah.
Now I do have one douche specific question for you, and I don't know if you're because I know you know I don't know how much of the feminine hygiene angle you were looking up, but we often call people douche bags. Was there ever a bag involved in douching that term comes from?
this is not scientific or really from doing that much research, but I think that like the modern douche involves a bag of substance that you shoot into yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
You're right.
I think that's it. I hope I'm not making that up, but that was not the case.
Well, I didn't...
I think you're right.
Yeah,
that's
you might be right.
That's
well, I did do the most minuscule amount of research I could do, and I did find out... I saw the more modern ones were kind of like the baby ear cleaners. So that's... But you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
oh,
right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But that's still not a bag, so...
Yep, that's what comes up when you look up douche on Wikipedia.
Hey,
Joe, what do we got
thanks
on...
Thanks for verifying my research, Joe.
What do we got on GW's teeth?
So Derek is right. None of his teeth were made out of wood. They were made of ivory.
Mm.
And when George Washington took his presidency, according to some website, he only had one tooth.
Really?
Yeah, and the rest were false. So he had poor dental hygiene.
As did most.
This has nothing to do with douches, really. But
animal bone. That's an equally as I actually like. You know, all jokes aside, I am very intrigued by the the chrysalis archaeology, the things that they're finding in New York, because there's just so many, you know, New York is like layers upon layers of just
sad dead people. Dead bodies, one on top of the other, their bones just rotting on top of one another for centuries.
Sorry. No, I was
going to say
dark, Chris.
That's what it's what it is. It's funny. I don't know.
I'm sorry, please.
When they were building the Brooklyn Bridge, they found a bunch of stuff that existed like when the Dutch first came, and it was like they found mummified goats and a bunch of their trash. And so, you know, in the 19th century, they're like, oh, look at this crap. And then they did now we're digging up their junk.
Right. Well, I was going to add, is there any other stuff specific to City Hall that you've experienced in terms of their archaeological digs? Because I do know that in that area, there was some prominent, like, slave burial grounds and things like that.
Well, I mean, this actually wasn't, I don't think this was related to their...
This dig?
Yeah, that dig specifically. But they recently actually found more remains, but that I don't think they actually were the ones that were overseeing that. But, you know, specifically, a lot of what actually we wrote about was further downtown, like South Street Seaport area, because they're doing a lot of, they're redoing the pipes down there, and that's where a lot of these bottles and other well and these walls, that type of thing. But... Yeah, I think that I know around that area. I mean, like as you said, there the related to slavery. There was also sort of a notorious prison around there, and then further up was the Five Points neighborhood, and there were some brothels there. That's actually where they found some of the other douches in New York City, which was around the brothels.
Five Points. It's another Copper reference.
Who's paying for all this wonderful archaeology, just out of curiosity?
I believe it's the city. Excavations are part of the Department of Design and Construction. And so I think that, they have to sort of, when you dig, you have to have a team there to oversee it and find things like this and catalog it. And then it's up to the city eventually, or the city owns these things. So it's up to them to decide, you know, like where the douche will end.
Well, that's
up
what
one
I was
day.
Gonna. I mean, you mentioned that there was some sort of a conference, or I think it was a conference. But is there a display or anything like, you know? I guess in many of the museums in New York, they probably have, you know, they separate some of these things, like whether it's Natural History Museum or something like that. But have they ever done specific?
Yeah, what's going to happen to all the New York artifacts, New York City artifacts?
So they have a lot of them in storage now, and they do put some of them in collections that they have throughout the city. But the douche specifically, I mean, it also takes a long time for them to catalog. So they find this stuff, and then they take a long time to
figure out what they are.
Right, exactly. This was it seemed sort of unusual in how stumped they were. But so they keep a lot of it in storage, and then it's sort of up to the city to find a home for it if they want to display it or put it in a collection in various spots throughout the city. So,
yeah,
it's one of those times where like something ridiculous and quote unquote viral meets something that is educational and worth reading. That occasion is very, very rare.
But it's
good work.
Yeah,
thank you
for coming by and explaining it. It is super interesting. Like, I am very intrigued.
I'm going to be hearing about this douche for 16 days on the road, nonstop. There's going to be silence in the van. Derek's going to be like, man, that douche.
Bone douche. The jokes are starting to create themselves. Don't worry.
Yeah. Thank you, Irene. Stick around.
Yeah, Irene, thank you so much for coming in. We're very appreciative. And, you know, if you do more follow-up on any of the digs, let us know.
Especially douches.
I think we need to do one on the male side, you know, like... something that's male specific.
Like what?
I don't know.
Like an ancient cod piece or something?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Something like that.
All right.
But thank you again, Irene.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Sometimes I feel like the pace of my life's too fast, and I think about the time that's passed. I can't remember what happened yesterday, the day before, or anything, at any rate, anyway. I think what I'm trying to say is, I don't want to live a life like this. What happens when all goes black and I'm lying there dying? I'm trying to think back, and I can't seem to conjure up anything, and the fear consumes me as I start to lose me. What happens when all goes black and I'm lying there dying? And I'm trying to think back, and I can't seem to conjure up anything, no, because I haven't done anything. I feel like I've led a pretty happy life, and how come all I can remember is the strife? Fear comes and takes its hold, and I'm afraid of getting old. And then suddenly I need a way out, cause I can't just let my memories fade in and fade out. I need something new, but I'm stuck with what to do. What happens when it all goes black and I'm lying there dying and I'm trying to think back? Can't seem to conjure up anything and the fear consumes me as they start to lose me. What happens when it all goes black and I'm lying there dying and I'm trying to think back? Can't seem to conjure up anything, no, cause I haven't done anything. We'll be right back.
Sweet Dissolve. Boo.
Can't get enough of that. Big ups.
Who are those guys?
So this is a conflict of interest, Joe. I think we should throw that out there just because Joe, our producer, is in the band. And we've been waiting for the right moment to have them on because, you know, aside from his talents as a producer, I mean, this is a legitimate band. We're not talking about, you know...
Just your opinion, man. Yeah.
The viral video. Did you see that viral video of the two guys playing a cover song in some like bar that like went out? I don't know. I was gonna say it's not like two guys playing a cover song.
It's not like Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. This is an actual band.
That band was pretty awesome.
I'm paraphrasing here, but he replied basically saying corporations made.
What the hell is that?
That's Derek talk? Evers' TED Talk. Yeah.
When did you do a tech talk?
I did a tech talk. I got, you know, the
in case you're wondering, BYO Records.
The good people at Bergen University asked me to do a TED talk. Bergen,
yeah, we're gonna flip this on.
Wearing like that earpiece, like a nerd.
Yeah, they make you wear the thing.
They fuse it to your skull for 3 hours.
Yeah, we're gonna flip this around and we're gonna interview Derek. I think.
So let's. Well, now that we've already discussed the conflict of interest, but you guys, I don't know. Help me out here, Chris.
What? I want to know, and this is something I don't know, how you guys write your songs.
Oh, you asked that every...
Because it's an interesting question.
No, it's not. It's like music writing 101.
I sit here and I write... And
while
I
we're at it, why don't you ask them what their influences are and where they got their name from?
God damn it.
Why the album is...
Can we take this seriously for a minute here, people? Like, I just want to know, how does the songwriting process come about?
Well...
Who starts?
Well, generally. It kind of comes from a lot of different places. Not every song is written in the same way. Sometimes the songs, we just make them up in the practice space. It just kind of happens very naturally. Other times someone has an idea, and then we bring it in, and then we work on it. And other times the songs are just written. We're like, this is the part. You're going to play this. I don't care if you like it or not. This is the part. So it's very... random, I guess. There's not really one specific way that we do it.
Who's the most dictatorial in terms of that process?
Probably me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the singer?
Yeah. As the singer, yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that guy.
Well, because I like to think that I can play all the instruments, but I'll be like, Brendan, the drum part, it's like, boop, boop, da, boop, da. And I'll be like, you know what, just give me the drumsticks. I'm going to play it. And then I'll sit down and try to play it. You know, I can't play it. And then I'll just like, and then Brendan just makes up what he wants. But
you're like, boots and pants and boots and pants and boots
yeah,
and pants.
Boots and pants, yeah.
Takadimi.
What's the ratio of bum ideas to, like, keepers? Like... You know, is it feast or famine, or is it like you guys have a bunch of shit in the toolbox and you can be like, let's rework this one, or...
Kind of depends on the night, you know?
Yeah.
There's some nights where you, like, dick around for 2 hours and you're like, okay, none of it. And then there's some nights where you're like, oh, yeah, dude, that first thing you played, let's do that forever.
Yeah. And you guys record that stuff?
Yeah, stereo iPhones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how all our demos are stereo iPhones.
We all went to school to learn how to record stereo iPhones. It's a very complex process. You know?
All right.
But you guys are... I mean, that's where you met, though. You joke, but you guys were in engineering school. What do you call that? Recording school? What is the technical...
Hippie school. Hippie school. It was hippie
NYU
school.
NYU Music Technology Program.
And were all of you guys in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all there.
We all didn't learn the same thing.
Did all of your parents... Did any of your parents say, like, why don't you pick something real? Come on.
No. At least not... I don't know. Anybody
I mean,
else?
I went to school for fine art, so you guys are, like, you know, at least, like, four notches ahead of me, but...
I had other people's parents tell me that.
Wow.
There's a lot of, like,
OPP.
So what do you do after that?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't work in that industry after that. That's
I see all those Subway ads, and it's like, you know, jumpstart your career as a recording engineer. And, like, it's like two people, like, one of them has, like, blue streaks in their hair. The other guy's, like, staring at the knobs, like, really intently, but, like, manipulating all of them at the same time.
It's one girl singing into the shock mount.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how much of... You know, but what really, so what sort of shit did you guys take? Like, what classes does one take?
There was some really cool stuff. Like, we had to take electronics, so there was a little bit of electrical engineering in there. I wouldn't say that it was
engineering school by any means, but we had to like learn how to build circuits. And
Joe's very defensive of his major, it sounds like.
Yeah, I like to think that it was time well spent, even though now I engineer radio at a pizza restaurant. but I still like to think that it was...
Hey, the best pizza restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Yeah, that was...
I'm pretty sure it's also the only restaurant that has audio engineering opportunities, so it's not like I'm... You know, I got hired by, you know, the number two pizza engineering restaurant.
I feel like that was
Can't go number two.
That
can't
was a sly two. Dig at our radio show, Chris.
Whatever.
No, but the other part of that, the other side of the engineering thing is that you guys pretty much self-produced your record.
Yeah, definitely self-produced it. And then Amar mixed it.
But on a level that, like, most people would be like, oh, you self-produced. And it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? There's always like...
It sucks.
Yeah, is what you're saying. but your sounds very professional. I mean, you guys are very what's the word? I'm
accomplished.
Looking? Not accomplished, but like
no, definitely like, not accomplished.
I mean, anal.
douchey
perfection. Are they perfectionists? Is that what you're trying to say? They strive for excellence in everything they do.
Isn't that the same thing
as anal?
No, anal's being like pedantic. I mean, are you guys pedantic about your engineering? Or are you nitpicky?
So pedantic.
Yeah, actually, I think anal might be the right word. Yeah.
All right. And so, how long did it take to mix, Amar?
Well, we went through a couple. We tried to work with a couple different engineers first. And we're very picky people. So
okay, right.
Trying to tell other people who aren't in the band how to do what we want to do became kind of difficult after a little while. It was just like, we should just do this ourselves.
It sounds magnificent, if I could say.
Stop kissing my ass.
So if we could, well, you know, I'm going to flip it on Carlos here. Because Carlos, are you allowed to talk about your secret job?
Yeah.
Well, it's not really a secret.
It's
your job.
It's not a secret. I'm on LinkedIn, dog.
And so you're
you want to connect?
I'm on LinkedIn.
You want to connect?
By the way, you guys should look up my new Twitter new Twitter profile picture when you get a chance. But so you're on
nude ever.
No, I'll pass. I'll pass on that.
So yeah, Google. Are you working on Google Glass or just
I'm working on it. I sit on it.
You still
all day,
get to get
and then
me a pair.
I'm
though.
On my laptop.
Can I see what it's like to look through the world?
I'll take you to lunch.
Come
tomorrow.
Glass? What is the coolest, like, in their office? Like, what is it? They have, like, shuffleboard or something like that? I mean, what do they have there? They've got to have some games for, you know.
They've got a whole arcade in there. It's pretty crazy. They have these hilarious electronic massage chairs that just hurt you way more than they massage you.
Do they
like
have
the ones with the little rotors? Like,
do they have the egg, like those, like, egg chairs?
No. Those are reserved for, like, engineers, like the nap pod things.
Yeah.
Reserved not for engineers.
Those are so those people can code like all throughout the night. Basically.
Nap pods?
Yeah.
People I need to use my nap pod.
It sounds like what's that movie? Altered States, where the guy turns into a werewolf from like being in a sensory deprivation tank for too long.
Why does that turn him into a werewolf?
Because he gets like into his animalistic side. He gets into his animalistic side and he turns into like a crazy hairy beast. He takes a lot of like drugs too, I think. You know, it's like, you know, your id. I don't know. I watched
about
it once.
No,
what?
Are you talking about Looper?
No, I'm not talking about Looper.
I had no idea.
Different movie.
Oh, okay.
I have a prickly question. That's may or may not be that prickly. So you guys had a very favorable review in Farm Implement magazine. And Farm Implement magazine made one critique though. It was basically saying that you guys are. It implied that there was some juvenilia to your songwriting and
your
message.
Oh, I just got that.
And, you know.
Yeah, I did too.
And it was like these guys are really good, but they're also kind of petulant. And they haven't really, you know, they don't really have anything to say yet. They just say it really well. So, like, did you guys read that into the critique? And how would you answer such a critique?
I thought it was a good critique. I took it to heart more than I think I normally... I don't know. A lot of times I read sort of press things and I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. But, you know, I think it's like to say that I'm the best lyricist or songwriter in the world, that is patently false.
Yeah,
like,
you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, but but at the same time, I do think that, you know, I don't want to say like he didn't get it, but, you know, there's a lot of songs that are sort of more critiquing social problems, and there's lots of songs that are really personal that are more about like my, you know, like my experiences. And sure, maybe those aren't written very well either, but it seemed that the writer was kind of saying like, there's nothing new here. It's just, you know, people, you know, it's someone complaining about social ills, and that's like, you know, that's a tried and true punk rock kind of thing. But I was hoping that it would get across a little bit more that the personal side of it. And so, I don't know, like, we've been writing new songs, and I'm trying to, not that I'm like, taking that to heart necessarily, but I do want things to be a little bit less taken at face value, perhaps, and maybe, perhaps more poetic or something like that, instead of being like, I'm yelling and angry. I want, you know, yeah, a little bit more subtle.
Right. Surf so form. So emo is what your next album is. You're going to have an emo.
No, emo is even more like over the top, I feel.
Well, any good artist should take constructive criticism to heart and like try to figure out, you know, what, you know, because all constructive criticism for, you know, everyone bags on the music critic, but, you know, they have things to say. They have opinions.
There's reasons that they're writing. You right. know, it's not like that the people that are some writers and critics. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
we won't name names, but.
No, but.
Derek Evans.
Derek.
Derek Evers. Dane Evans. Chris Robbins. No, you guys are great. But no, I think that, that people, that's their
well,
jobs.
My point to what you just said is that I agree on a surface level that, you know, because that's what punk and hardcore has. But I do think you guys put a different twist on it, because you guys are talking about things that are very 21st century, very modern era, whereas, like, the hardcore and the punk of, like, what is known, you know, is, like, more of a I don't know, a political view or whatever, yeah. You know, and this is a very, I do think it is personal. I do think it's very introspective, and I think that was a point maybe he missed.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was talking about this recently, that someone said that they thought that, like, not to use this word, because it's a very fun word to use a lot, but there's a lot of millennial issues kind of thing that are brought up. And I don't think that those are trivial issues necessarily. People, you know, people that are in our age group and having to
Tinder. Deal with,
exactly. The entire record's about Tinder, really. No, but anyway, you know, just about a world that you know, you think that you're following the right path, and then you're kind of spit out into this world that's that can't accommodate you. And
you talking about Looper?
No, we're not talking about Looper.
We're talking about Google Glass now.
Yeah, now we're talking about the short supply of Google Glass and why we can't all be sitting here with our scouters on checking out each other's power levels.
Because there's no ads on the wall to register, that's why. That's all Google Glass is going to be about, is trying to track where our eyes go to register ad impressions. But real in-person ad
Carlos?
Impressions.
Can you comment, Carlos?
Yeah. Cyborg, comment.
No, the other, but we won't put him on the spotlight. He might be giving away trade secrets. We don't know.
What? All right.
There's no trade. I know it's so little. It's amazing.
Google's trade secret
is I'm on
is
the
money.
Bottom of the bottom.
Yeah.
The other interesting fact about this band, we always have, usually we have Canadians or all different kinds of different, but we do have a Canadian on this band.
On the band.
On the show, in the
he's
band.
On it. I stand on them while they play. it's like a performance art thing.
And you know? For the first time on the show, we have a fellow Buffalonian on the show.
That's right, you do.
Yeah. So, Brendan, growing up in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really have any good questions for that. That's where I'm from. But
growing up in Buffalo, like, were you like six and did you see Derek drive by in like a fucking El Camino
Ford
like,
Bronco
with yeah, like just hair. Being like yeah, and like throwing beer cans
with
a,
who's that
like,
guy?
With yeah. a mullet and like all sorts of great tattoos. I'm yeah. hoping
I didn't have a mullet, but my tattoos are very superb.
Yeah.
Did you? I'm trying to think of what some of the they were all closed down by the time you were.
Yeah.
How old are you guys?
Yeah. How?
I want to know how old everyone
him,
is.
How old he is?
I don't mention on the air, but it's somewhere between 40 and 70.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No,
Derek is the crypt keeper, basically.
Derek has been around since really before history.
Since Reagan.
He's sort of a magical being that floats through the studio.
I remember douches. Yeah, I was about to say, Derek remembers seeing the douche on the ground.
From Star Trek.
I'm 28. How old are? Let's.
Have you seen the movie Looper?
I feel like this is a repeating theme. Like it's just looping over and over.
Well, you know, guy comes back and he's older and he's younger.
God damn it! I want to know how old everyone is.
I'm 25.
I'm 24.
Okay. 24.
Okay.
23.
Oh my god,
man.
We are but children.
That's what everyone at work says. They're all like, "Oh, you're 24. Oh my god."
You guys could be my children, literally.
No, we couldn't.
That'd be close.
You got a girl knocked up in high school.
Amar might be able to.
Promiscuous in Buffalo.
Hey, Buffalo, that's how you lock him down early, man. It's like,
what if after the show, Derek takes Amar and is like, seriously, I'm your dad.
I took a trip up to
there was the sperm bank in Buffalo, you know?
The drinking age is lower up there.
That's how I paid for college, basically. No. You got to help me out here.
What?
I don't know.
Talking about sperm banks.
Oh, sperm banks. Oh, man.
Did you ever use one of those, Derek? To make a little extra cash?
No, can't say I have. Have you?
Yeah, I know people who did it, but I know.
That wasn't the question.
Oh no, have I? I have not done it.
I'm glad we're on the radio.
Have any of you guys?
My roommate.
You shouldn't be going there.
We've all done things for money. I mean, it's not. I mean, like.
Well, 3/4 of the way, last stage, freaked out.
Oh, and you decide you.
I was like, this
you,
is not for me.
You well, pulled
how
out.
Much money, how much money were they offering?
Well, it was a per donation basis.
Like $50 for men, right?
No, it's a little bit more. The place I went to is, I think, $75 per donation, and then they limited the donations to like 3 times a week.
So that would be, I mean,
but the weird thing was the cap
job.
Was like if they chose you could have up to 10 accepted donations, aka you could have 10 kids, and then you're done.
So they cap you at 10.
And then as soon as I read that, I was like, yeah, I don't want 10 kids. I'm 20.
Do they tell you, though, if your donation's been accepted?
Yeah, they tell you. I think so. Mm.
I was just thinking 1 hour, you miss $75 an hour. That's a good job,
that
man.
Would be great.
That's probably why they limit it, though, because, you know.
Well.
It's for your own health, really.
Is it, though?
Ah, man.
Did the power just go out?
The power just went out.
No, it's somebody's birthday. It's somebody's birthday.
Obviously the power didn't go out because we're still recording.
Oh. Oh, okay.
That's what that NYU degree gets you.
Wait, all right.
No, it's still working.
You guys are on tour soon.
We're on tour now, technically.
Okay.
Because this airs next Wednesday.
How long?
For a week.
Yeah, that's why we brought you in, because you guys are going on the road.
Yeah.
You're going
probably
to Europe.
In Liverpool right now.
So
this is
this is a good thing, a good topic. You guys are like the new Strokes, in the sense that you're bigger in the UK,
going to Yankees games with like Kate Moss and shit.
But
I'm Fabrizio.
Have you guys been taken back by the amount of love that the UK has given you guys?
I don't really, it doesn't seem real because I just click on a website and then it says like, oh, Kerrang gave you 3Ks, gave you a KKK out of a KKKKK, and I'm like, okay. Oh, wow, I'm making jokes.
We can't read all the German reviews anyway, so it's like, whatever.
Wait, so like...
It doesn't feel real because it's just like, it's like I'm checking my email, but instead it's like a review of a
record. But you guys are like going to do an in-studio performance at BBC One, which is like, you know, that's a big deal. And you guys are also like, you know, I mean, that's the type of stuff that you hear about, like, I don't know. What's a big band these days? What are the kids listening to? Fish doing?
Yeah. Fish, I think, pretty sure they did a BBC One.
Yeah.
But it's all right, so...
Fish did a BBC like 100. Like...
Do you know what their BBC set was, dude?
That's the other thing. Which really one? One of you guys is like a secret jam head, right?
Are you kidding me?
Both of these.
See, I think this is where Buffalo like it splits. In the
yeah,
because
I was like
when
a hardcore
I was in Buffalo,
kid.
It was all jammy jam.
Oh, I hated the jam. I hated the hippies.
My high school was all the hippies, dude.
Well, we had both. We had the faction of both, but like you know, I was growing up in the early '90s, very the hardcore straight edge days. I wasn't straight edge, but like so, there was like a large faction of hardcore kids. But of course, it was always like
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
That's exactly how it was.
Wait, what high school? Did
it was like Cider House Rules.
Oh, I grew up in Lockport, so not really Buffalo.
Oh, Lockport,
yeah. Cider House
oh,
Rules.
Lockport.
Mm. Oh, Lockport. Mm. We played you a lot in baseball.
Let's end on that. Good until the ending. Appropriate.
Yes. Big ups. Thank you. Irene, thank you.
Thank you. See you next week.
Yeah. No, we won't. We'll see you in 3 weeks. Fuck. We're going on the road. Weeks. We're right, going on the road too, but Chris doesn't want to talk about it, so we'll tell you when we come back.
Kisses.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.